Want to take the SoCal Sound with you anywhere? Download the SoCal Sound app to your mobile device. You could stream the SoCal Sound 24/7. See what song just played on our playlist, listen to an archived show, read an article from our newsfeed, stay up to date, or watch a SoCal Sound session. It's all there, and it's now Apple CarPlay and Android Auto compatible. Download the SoCal Sound app today.
Julie Slater here with the SoCal Sound, and I've got a special guest, Tom O'Dell. Welcome. Welcome to Northridge. You made the trip. You've been all over the world. What you got to say about the valley?
It's 10 degrees hotter than...
than other places.
Than L.A.
That's a little...
The Hollywood.
That's the magic of the valley. That's right.
Yeah. What contributes to that increase in temperature?
I'm guessing the mountains, it's all closed in. I don't know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I completely underestimated how long it would take me to get here. Hence, everything's happening later than it was meant to.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry.
We were laughing that he just mentioned that he has to go to Silver Lake. And we're looking at the time. We're like, from the valley.
Yeah.
Good luck, brother. Good
well, luck. Yeah. No, it's one has to have courage to get around.
You have to have courage to drive around Los Angeles. That's true.
Yeah.
That's why the best thing is if you ever do move here, although for you it would be tough. Got to try and move where all your stuff is.
Yeah.
That's the best goal.
Yeah, absolutely. I find the freeways here or the highways they take a bit of getting used to.
In what way?
On the dial, I'm not actually traveling faster, but it feels so much faster than in Europe. I don't know why that is. Because you know, in Europe, we have this thing where the closest lane to the center is the fastest. That's the fast lane. And then the next one is like the next fastest. And then the one furthest away is the slow lane. And they don't have that here. Every lane is just has its own speed.
Do you do a lot of driving yourself?
Here I do.
Yeah.
In the UK, not so much. Like every so often. But my wife and I, we share a car, which, you know, is not used that often, to be honest with you. Because, you know, in London, it's...
You can get around with that one.
Yeah, you get the tube and taxis or walk. And but it's nice to drive. I love to drive, actually. It's a nice feeling.
How about on tour?
Well, I never do it on tour. I'm always being driven. And it's so nice to sit and drive and just listen to songs.
Yeah.
It's meditative. Yeah, it's nice. Yeah.
Let's talk about your new album. So It's a Wonderful Life. Is that any kind of reference to the movie A Wonderful Life? Are you a big fan?
I've never seen the film. No.
That's perfect.
Yeah. What's it called? It's a Wonderful Life.
A Wonderful Life, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Wonderful Life.
No, but I don't know anything about the film.
That's great.
Yeah.
So how would you describe your record? And is this your seventh album? Yeah.
Mm.
So how's the difference for this one from the past? Like, is every album completely different to you, or do you just think it's a little bit of a sway?
I think I need another 7 years to answer that question. Like, I find it so difficult in the moment to understand what is unique about it. But I just try to always just write about the time and what's around me, the world around me, and what's going on within, and maybe the meeting point of those two things. Varying states of harmony. Does my interior world have a conversation with the exterior world? And just try to write truthfully and find some goodness in there that I like. But I don't know how this differs. Hopefully it's the best album, but it could well be the worst.
Do you have any albums that you're like, oh, remember U2 kind of regretted an album or two?
Yeah, what, the one they stuck on our phones or?
Yeah, the Zooropa time.
Yeah. I think it's great to have albums you regret. I think that's one of the great privileges of being an artist is to regret some work you've made. I think it means that you're doing things with conviction and you're not trying to please everybody, and there's, I would say, most of my music I regret with brief moments that I think are good.
Put on your clothes and you kiss me. You pour out a miniature whiskey. You look through the glass at the city. When it gets dark, it's so pretty. We fell in love very quick. Something about us just clicked. Maybe we're sick, sick in our hearts. You touch me and I fall apart. The building is filling with smoke. You read me that poem you wrote. It gives me hope. Me choke, and I've got my head in your palms. I stare at the scars on your arms. Don't let me go. I won't let you go. I lay on the bed where you're lying. You're filming yourself and you're crying. Do you ever dream that you're flying in the wind with the leaves that are dying? And we had to grow up so quick, killing the world in a click. Maybe sick, sick in our bones. You smile and look down at your phone. The city is filling with smoke. You look out the window and choke. If I just jumped, if I would float. All I can say is don't let me go. I won't let you go. Thank you.
How about from the start when you put out a debut record, which was 2013?
Yeah.
You had what feels, you know, it was like you had a lot of success kind of out of the gate,
not
right?
Not here, I didn't.
But over in the UK?
In the UK, Europe.
Yeah, sort it's pretty big, right?
Sort of. It's kind of.
You won a lot of some awards.
That's
your debut record, right?
I won an award, I think I won. But like, not a huge amount of success. I mean, I had enough success to be able to tour and to, build a good fan base touring, which it's always been up and down.
Your journey?
My gig, yeah.
Do you feel the songs you write, do they change for you after you get a reaction from crowds? Does the feeling for that song, do you ever have a song that you thought, well, I think you have, I'm sure, have had songs that are like, oh, this one's all right, but then people go crazy over it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You just think, what is going on?
I think the audience are like really as much a part of the kind of final product, which is my overall career, as I am. Like, I think this like myth that artists kind of just make songs for themselves and they like have their hands on their ears and they don't give a damn about what the audience think. It's total rubbish. It's like the whole thing is communication. It's always been that. This year I've read a lot of Thomas Hardy's, English writer, and there's these from the 19th century, and there's these moments. They're like mostly based in the West Country of England, and there's these moments where they, every so often on like a market day or when they do the harvest, and they have these meals, and all the workers come in and they sing these songs, but the songs are. They're communicating to each other. The songs don't exist in isolation. It's always been a communal thing, music. It's as important the listener as it is the maker. And so every concert is different the way people absorb the music.
I'd imagine different cities, different countries, very different.
Yeah. It's really important to me to change the set list because then I'm also discovering the music every night.
I love that. I think it's strange that people play the same.
Everyone.
Even some huge bands, they play the same. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Can you
everyone does it.
Mix it up a little bit.
I find it mad. Like.
And you could throw little nuggets to fans.
Or just like, because I think the sense of discovery, when we record songs for the first time, is almost always the best take is the first take. Because Laurie and I, who I make my records with, we always say that you can hear the discovery in the take. You can hear there's something that is being discovered. And I find that really kind of interesting. And I think it's a really important thing. You know, like you're flogging a dead horse, you know, when you're
overthinking it,
over-singing things.
Did you record, I think I read that you recorded this album live. Is that something you do with most of your records?
No.
No. So is it a change?
Well, the first one was recorded quite live. The second one wasn't. The third one was. The fourth one, fifth one, sixth one wasn't. And the seventh one was. Pointless information for everybody.
What about, you've played Glastonbury a few times, I think, but you just played again. You played four times?
Yeah.
It seems like, just watching some videos from this one, was this a pretty special, more than the others, big experience, or are you just...
It was okay.
Do you love playing, some people don't love touring, some people love a studio, like, do you have a preference? Do you just love it all, or...?
When I'm at home, I love touring. And when I'm touring...
You want to be home.
Home. Yeah.
I know, I think in the best circumstances, touring is very difficult.
I do like touring. I do, actually. I like it, but like in all... everything in moderation. It can also be over.
Can you control your tours?
Yeah.
Like how long you're out and all that?
Yeah, but I have a habit of saying yes. To things.
Too much touring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
imagine a world that you're gonna enjoy. You're charming, you're just like your grandma. You're strumming your toy guitar. You got her wrapped around your fingers, it seems. Singing your songs of love, telling her what you'll be when you grow up. A singer, songwriter, whatever you decide, it's gonna be tough getting to know the black dog in your blood. But when the war is won, just promise you'll come and visit us. Oh, these prayers. Does anybody know if there's a heaven up there? I'm hoping if there is, then it may be somewhere I can see your eyes still gently smiling at me. I open up a bit, I'm feeling kind of angry you're not here, and I don't want to be alone, so I pick up my iPhone and I choose which part of my mind I will abuse. I promised I wouldn't, but it's just too good to refuse. As big as they seem, still waiting for my mother to arrive, to sit down by my side and tell me I don't need to worry anymore. I'm sitting on a plane, I'm drinking into an ether ties the pain. I don't know where it comes from. It's been there ever since I was young, I guess. But when I'm with my friends, I feel it less. Time out of my mind. That's when I find I'm at my best. Oh,
the best way to stay up to date with the SoCal Sound is by signing up for our email newsletter. Get the inside scoop on station events, ticket giveaways, and pre-sale opportunities. Go to thesocalsound.org and click sign up for the email newsletter at the top of the homepage.
I saw a quote on your Instagram that is attributed to Mark Twain. The more I learn about people, the more I like my dog. Please explain. Do you have animals?
I have a cat. I just like that quote.
We're having a bad day.
Huh?
I think this was yesterday.
No, it just makes me laugh. Mark Twain makes me laugh. I think there's something about touring that is funny. It is such an extraordinarily strange way to live. And you are sort of like one of those skimming stones, you know, slowly losing momentum as you skim across the water before you plunge into the dark depth of the lake or the sea. No, I think it's like, I think it's a strange way to live, touring. And I've done it now for like 13 years, 12 years. And
are you an expert?
Yeah, absolute expert. We've done a lot of it, you know, for who we are, or, you know, same guys I've toured with, and we've done a lot of it, you know. We've gone to lots of different places. There was a period, I went through periods of my career where I really just said yes to everything. Like, we end up in all these strange places, you know, people don't usually tour. And, you know, we've had a lot of fun with it, and I've seen the world. I love touring. I do love touring. As I get older, I'd say what I love about it probably has changed slightly.
And you're touring now with the Lumineers?
That's correct.
But also, did you, you toured with Billie Eilish?
Yeah.
How different were those tours?
In similar venues.
Yeah.
But different. Not that different, actually. But the Lumineers are lovely, very generous human beings, and so is Billy and her team. What's different about it? I don't know, really. I guess the age, maybe, of the people. Like, Billy's obviously only like 23 or 24.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's sort of pointless to compare them in a way.
But
very honored to do both tours. Yeah.
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 If you had to pick one of, what would you say is one of the best songs of your own that you've written? Like something that you're like,
I don't know.
Oh, I wrote that one.
I guess I'm really proud of Black Friday, which is my last record, my previous record. I'm really proud of that song because I think it, sometimes you can do things with songs where they capture some esoteric emotion that you as the writer aren't even sure what it is. And I think that one does that. And for that reason, because it has captured something so abstract and ambiguous, and you're not even sure where or what that feeling is. You can't articulate it. There's no word that you know that can articulate the feeling. I think for that reason, you keep finding more within it. And when I perform that song, I do keep finding more within it.
Do you feel like your songs just come through you? Or maybe some do and others are more of a songwriting work?
I don't know. I know that when the good stuff comes, there's a moment of kind of, you know, I relate to the kind of cliche Dylan, you know, the descriptions of channels and all that business.
Do you not believe in that?
No, I do believe in it. I just don't know if I can add to it what's already been said about it. Like, I think it's definitely, you know, good work comes from somewhere that isn't the front of your mind, which is like the part that worries and has this kind of consequential idea of their life as being this and this and you know, it's the almost antithesis of the way social media operates, this kind of two-dimensional understanding of life and morality. And it, for me, it's great art comes from some sort of somehow being to uphold ambiguity and conflicting ideas. And I find that in great art always. And I don't find that ever on social media. I know why I'm talking about social media, but that's I'm using that as a kind of opposite pillar. You know, do you know what I mean?
I feel like listening, well, I was just going to say, listening to your music, people, I guess, you know, there's a lot of things you talk about in your songs and emotions. I feel like it's music people listen to, and they're just like crying. Mm. Like you're helping them get through a lot of stuff.
Yeah, which is not the intention with the music.
Well, I'm sure.
No.
It's pretty neat that that's...
It's nice that people feel...
really relate.
Yeah, and I think the only thing I would say is that, for me, music has always been... Since I was young, I found it difficult to express myself emotionally. I've gotten better as I've gotten older, but like I was a sort of strange kid looking back. And I think when I sat down at the piano, I always felt this like rush of emotion and an emotional clarity. So I think what's cool for me is that it allowed me to process emotion, and now it seems to do the same for others. And that's a really nice understanding. And in a strange way, if I could, when I think about it in kind of more sober, kind of cerebral moments, I think to myself that that's my kind of duty now. Like, to encourage others to practice compassion and for themselves and for others. For others is the bit I always want to add, because I think that's the bit that we must start at. Because I think when you practice compassion for others, you get used to also doing it to yourself. And I think it's the thing we lack in 2025. I think we're very quick to judge and to project stuff onto people. And I see, and it doesn't surprise me that there's so much self stuff, because I think
everyone's stuck on their phones all day. It's terrible.
I think we're going to look back on photos 50 years time, and the thing that will define this era is we were all staring at these little black boxes, and we'll all look fucking insane.
I've seen photographers take pictures of people and they take the phones out.
Yeah.
And so all their pictures are, they're all sitting on the couch just staring.
It's madness.
I know.
It's complete madness. And we know it's gonna feel so mad.
Yeah.
Because it'll be in our eye lens, or be in our glasses, or it won't be at all, and we would have managed to self-destruct. But maybe all of those things are preferable to the current madness of staring into little black boxes.
Self-destruction.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I know you have to get to Silver Lake, and it's going to take you about 4 hours, so we're going to let you go.
You're very kind.
Thank you for coming in. The new album is coming out very soon. It is A Wonderful Life. You're on the Wonderful Life tour. It's very positive.
Very positive.
So thank you, Tom. Odell, thanks for popping by.
Lovely to meet you and to talk to you.
You too.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Two strangers standing in the doorway of a bar, nervously talking about the past. Easy to laugh about it now, wasn't so long ago at home, just to hear your name. Could all lovers ever just be friends? One drink, it all comes flooding back again. You look at me and you smile. Think I haven't felt like this wall and we look out at the rain and we see how much our lives have changed, our futures rearranged, but somehow just the same. And here we are, two lovers standing on the pavement by your car. Rest your head upon my arm. Easy to laugh about it now. Wasn't so long ago it hurt just to hear your name. Could all lovers ever just be friends? One drink and go their separate ways again. Look like you wanna fight. I think maybe it's time I say goodnight, but I'm happy that I came just to see your eyes still have their flame, their beauty and their pain. You know, it feels like yesterday that I was yours and you. Parallel lines, and you buttered up your coat, and the bill gets paid, and we leave behind the life we almost made. Could all lovers ever just be friends? One drink, it all comes flooding back again. At me and you smile. I think I haven't felt like this in a while. When we look out at the rain, we see how much our lives have changed, our futures rearranged, but somehow just the same. La la da, la da 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 da. La da 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 da, la 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 la, la 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 la.
The SoCal Sound sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound, hosted by Julie Slater. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce, edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.